A guy who was well retired by that time was actually living in Texas at the time. Knows a thing or two about rivalries. He just strolled in, so I thought I'd throw him on. Dave Lumley joins us. Lumber, how are you doing?
Bud.
Jeez, you're looking good.
I just got out of the gym.
I was just going to say,
just got out of the gym, came straight here, and you nabbed me at the door. I got time for a beer.
Yeah, well, you got your beer, though.
Thank
so that
you.
Was, that
That's
was
the most important thing.
That's the most important thing. Now, you were in Texas, and you were telling me how, like, you were in a part of Texas where there was no, even though this Dallas Stars, like, there was no coverage of hockey back then.
None. I was about 2.5 hours kind of northeast of Dallas. Texarkana, right in the Arkansas border, where they said, hey, where y'all from? Y'all got an accent. So you guys got the accent, man. But no hockey coverage at all.
It was, now, you played a lot in the playoffs, and, you know, Calgary and Edmonton had some hellacious battles, but you never played 5 years in a row in the playoffs. Like, when you were like, you imagine how much animosity you guys had built up just playing 2 or 3 years in the playoffs. Or can you imagine what would happen after five back in the 80s?
Did you check whether we did or not against
Calgary?
Yeah,
I looked at it. You never
Winnipeg.
Played.
It was Calgary and Winnipeg.
Yeah,
all
you
time,
switched so. Back and forth. Yeah. We never played 5 years in a row against Calgary.
Is that right, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, those ones were, there were wars.
Oh.
I did a thing with Poplinski, Otto, and Theo Fleury, and we were talking, and I said, those series, I thought somebody might die. Like, somebody might get killed. That's how dirty it was. And evidently, five years in a row, I couldn't imagine. They must have hated each other by the end.
Well, you know, we had Ryan Smith on it, and he was talking about how, you know, he hated Hatcher and Matvichuk, and he had to go, and he was a 20-year-old guy, so you get thrown into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, it's like sink or swim. And, you know, he says, man, but I had to get up. And, you know, how Darren Hatcher had told Brownlee once, he's like he asked him off the record, seriously, like, what's wrong with Smitty? Like, seriously, he's like, what do you mean? Well, he keeps getting back up. Like, he thought, like, this guy just, you can't take that much punishment. Talk about how, when the rivalries are there, how you just, you have to will yourself. Because the other team, I'm guessing, knows if you're beaten, if you don't get up.
Well, number one, Hatcher, he reminds me of Duncan Keith a little bit. He worked guys in front of the net. I mean, back then, you could do anything you wanted in front of the net. I mean, it's the rules have changed, obviously, now. But that's – he was tough, and he worked Smitty. I remember people telling me about it and Smitty telling me about it. And what was your question? I've often –
just about how giving the inch and when you – because Hatcher's like, man, he keeps getting up. Like, mentally, if the other guy knows that you won't get up, you're done.
You had to show – I think it's, you had to show you weren't afraid. You know, it wasn't anything to do with respect or anything. You just, I kind of felt bad for the Europeans, yeah, because they didn't really like that kind of hockey at all. I loved it. I thought it was great, you know. But I remember one time with Jim Poplinski, we went at it every year, you know, and the playoffs were just double and triple the amount that we did. And the first game we played one season, he ran me after the whistle.
In
the regular season. And, but this is the point I'm trying to make about how, anyway, it was an icing call, and he's a centerman, I'm a winger. So the face-off's down in their end. So I just glide in, you know, to the face-off circle. And I said, Pepper, are we going through this again this year? He says, damn right we are. I said, all right, let's get her going. So it's not only the playoffs, you got to put up with that stuff and show you're not afraid the whole regular season and then the playoffs. If you show that you're just a wuss, you're going to get worked.
Was there ever anyone in your room that you guys felt on the Flames that you're like, okay, you know what? We think maybe we can beat him down mentally.
Jeez, I don't think so. I mean, think about Theo Fleury. He's such a small guy. And he just took it and took it and took it and came back for more and more. I don't think there was ever one guy. Maybe Hawk and Lube. Remember Hawk and Lube?
Oh, again? Yeah.
It sounds like I'm bad-mouthing the Europeans. But those are the guys that you went after right off the bat to see, you know, what they were made
of. Yeah, you would challenge, like, literally, who was – like, I'm sure everybody on your team did it, right? And depending on the ice, but was there certain ways where different guys have a different way of going after someone on your team?
I had my own special way. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just
spearing
stuff after, no, accidental spearing maybe, like Billy Smith. It's just whatever you thought you could get away with, really. You know, it's not so much the Calgary Flames, but that's Clark Gillies to this day says if he saw me off the ice, he would take the 25 years for murder and kill me. And because all I would do is just give him a jab here, a jab there, an elbow in the face after the whistle, just get under his skin so he's thinking about me rather than what they're supposed
to
do.
And he never, like, lost it and jumped you and took a stupid penalty?
Never did.
Wow.
Well,
did that surprise you?
I think I was just so fast. I was fast, and I would be yelling, Smeg, I need help.
You know, rivalries, and as a player, you talk about how you love that hockey, and the game has definitely changed for sure. And, you know, the playoffs now are fast and they're intense. And, you know, you see, like, Chicago and L.A. right now, they have one of the best rivalries in the Western Conference because they've, like, a rivalry, do you think you can build a rivalry if you don't match up in the playoffs?
I can't see how. I mean, look at the Oilers and the Flames now. Is there anything there? I mean, who on the Flames, who in the other league hates anybody on the Oilers? I don't think there's one guy. So you can't manufacture. I think you just have to play and play and have somebody do something to you, and then you got to do something to him, and now you're watching out for each other. And like Poplinski, I said, Joel Otto said, somebody asked if we hate each other still after all these years. And Pepper pipes up. He says, we're out at dinner. And he says, well, no, I mean, take a look at Lumber. Like, he broke my nose one time. And I've forgiven him. I don't even think about it anymore. I said, well, yeah, because you're beating the crap out of Kenny Linsman, who's a foot shorter. He says, not that time. So I broke his nose twice, apparently, you know. But he's forgotten all about it. But that's what it was like back there. You know?
Now, what about you? Do you hold grudges?
No, absolutely not. Tim Hunter is the only guy that I ever think about. There was an icing call. The linesman was skating down the other end. We're all just, you know, gliding through center ice. And I saw him look at the ref for some reason. I was right beside him, and he just stuck me and cut me for 7 stitches.
Just for no reason.
Nobody saw it. We were just gliding down the ice, and woof, he just high-sticked me right in the face.
So now, was there a part of you, because you were a guy who liked to do that, say, well, I kind of have to respect that, because if I could have gotten away with it, I would have done the same thing.
I don't know if it was respect or not. I just he was way tougher than I was, and yeah. I wasn't going to fight the guy. I mean, I would have got my clock cleaned. But it was just one of those, well, here's another example. That fight that Poplinski was talking about, you know, with Kenny Linsman in the old Calgary Corral, I had gotten kicked out of the game. I was already halfway down the aisle off the ice. And now I see Pepper. He's got Linsman, who likes almost a foot shorter. He's got him, and he's just like a rag doll, punching him, just jabbing him. So I saw that, and I run back down the rubber aisle,
yeah,
in the corner of the rink, and I start skating as hard as I can straight towards those two, and they were kind of faced away from me, and I'm going, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, and as soon as I got within punching range, Poplinski turned his head, and I caught him with one right in the nose. There was blood everywhere. So who am I to complain?
Did you get suspended for that?
No.
Like, so you had left the ice surface, the refs had kicked you off.
I was out of the game.
And you come back
Came back on, ran down the aisle.
Oh, man, the game is totally.
There was blood everywhere. So I can't complain about Hunter doing it to me. You know?
No, probably not. Dave Lovely joined us. Now, you mentioned how Hunter, obviously a bigger guy, and I just saw him actually when I was in Moose Jaw for Smitty's jersey retirement. And he's still, you know, it's like Dave Semenko. Dave Semenko walks by in the press box. He's still the biggest guy in the rink.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, like, and you're just like, imagine when, and I've went back, and you can watch it online, and you watch, you know, some of those Calgary games, and there is the fight where Dave actually, and I asked Tim Hunter about it, he goes, yeah, like, he need him. Like, stuff that you would never even contemplate. And I remember watching that as a kid, but I never, just, I don't know, maybe because I'd seen so much, you didn't even think about it. But when you watch those videos, and now you see the game, it's just, you know, not that you need violence necessarily for a rivalry, but you talked earlier, Dave, about the fear factor and how much that played a part of the rivalry, do you think?
Well, there was just so much of the finishing your checks. There was the scrums after every whistle. There was the yapping. There was guys on the bench yelling at the other team. There was just so much of that stuff going on. And that old corral, I mean, it was so small. That I remember that first year. It was just a gong show down there. I watched this, the Islanders against us one Stanley Cup game on those old classics on TV. Mm-hmm. The hooking and the holding that was going on back then. Let me ask you, how many points do you think Gretz would get if he was playing today? He had the same, you know, he's 25 years old, 20 years old.
Well, you know what the problem is now? Well, he'd probably still get
there's
close.
No hooking. There's,
but
I mean,
the video on it now, I think, is almost, it's hurt the game. Because Gretz used to be able to surprise, like, you know what? Guys now watch all the video, and you would never, you know, he could surprise guys and come with something new every game because they never watch video. I'm not sure because he was the one who mentioned that. He goes, I think it's harder for offensive guys now because the coaches spend so much time in video that they break down every moment, every movement that you make.
But I'm
but on the power play, though, he probably
I'm
just
thinking
killed.
More of, like, dump-ins when everybody, you just held up your winger. You know, you just held him. You just interfered with him. The hooking and the holding. would Yari Curry have been able to get open more times?
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. It would be interesting somehow. I don't know. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can never. That's what makes it so great, because you would never know. But I think, here's the thing. Gretzky in his era, and always people are saying, well, yeah, you know, the orders were stacked. I'm like, yeah. But Gretzky, no one else was even getting 150 points, and he was getting 200.
One year, I got a goal and an assist in the first game of the year, and I was interviewed after. I think I was second star or something. I said, if I keep this pace up, I'm only going to lose the scoring championship by 60 points. I had a goal and an assist in one game. I wouldn't even been close to him.
Like that. I think people have to compare Gretzky just to the guys in his generation to see how no player's been that dominant in a generation ever.
More assists than anybody else had points, right?
Yeah. Like he's the only guy that I can ever think of in a hockey playoff pool where Gretzky was two guys. You either got his goals or you got his assists. You couldn't get both.
Yeah. I know. I sat beside him in the locker room. Those reporters around my stall after every game, really annoying. Not one of them talking to me.
Dave, quickly, we're here, talking a lot about the Edmonton-Dallas rivalry for pro. I think it's a great idea what they're doing with the Alzheimer's to raise all that money. You see the orders now, and obviously it's struggling. And just if they could ever get to the playoffs and have a rivalry, just how quickly the attitude around the team and the organization in the city would change, wouldn't it?
That's a big if, though. They got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
I just want them to experience what it's like in Edmonton during playoff time. Like, it's just the word on the street, the buzz in the city, and when you skate out in the ice for warm-up, you get goosebumps in your face, you know. It's so exciting. It's so much fun to – I don't know how much longer it's going to be.
Yeah, well, hopefully sometime in the next decade would be nice, but,
We'll see.